right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. And it's 9 o'clock. That must be news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
Hey, Tim, don't you think I'm like a sexy Paul Majors?
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Oh, actually, I guess that would be Pat Harvey.
All right, Gina Grad with that news,
I love that, Pat Harvey.
Yeah, and Paul Majors, right?
Yeah, I like him too.
All right, there you go.
Oh, so much going on. Such a big weekend, Tim.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
So much drama. First and foremost, the Celtics nearly blew a 24-point lead in the fourth quarter last night before defeating the Lakers 108-102 in Game 2 of the NBA Finals at the TD Bank North Garden to take a 2-0 series lead. Paul Pierce led the Celtics with 28 points and 8 assists. And here we have some audio of the game's big climax.
All right, here we go. Lakers almost came all the way back. I was watching that last night. And they're down by 27 points or 24 points. And I thought, nah, it's over. And then I saw Boston not guarding these guys shooting three-pointers. I said, wait a minute. If you stop guarding professional basketball players, you stop guarding that three-pointer, man. That's all they're going to shoot. And they came back, and they almost did it at the end. All right, here's audio from last night. Great game.
12.6 remaining. Again, Lakers still have a timeout. Posey knocks down two clutch free throws. First Pierce, then Posey. Six-point game. Final seconds. Bryant. They've got to get off a three. Bryant kicks it in. Back out Fisher. Fisher. That's a three-pointer. Puts it up. Back of the rim. Won't go. Rebound knocked loose out of bounds. With 3/10 of a second remaining. And the Celtics will survive. A huge sigh of relief for Doc Rivers and the Celtics. And Boston goes up 2-0. In the NBA Finals.
All right, Boston up 2-0. They will play games 3, 4, and 5 here at the Staples Center. And I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. I saw this on the news that about, I don't know, 7 or 8,000 people showed up at the Staples Center to watch, to watch it on TV.
That's weird. I don't like when people do that.
It's really weird.
Like when people go to like movie theaters or auditoriums to watch the Oscars.
Right.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know who's going. Because ultimately, it can only be depressing because you're watching the Lakers. You pay $15 for your seat and you're watching the Lakers in the Staples Center, but it's on TV. And you're sitting in a seat that on the next game will cost $12,000 to sit in. And you're sitting there for $15. And what do you take? Like a date on this? You take a date to this?
I don't think so.
Like, hey, baby, I got tickets to the Laker game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, let's go. Staples Center, game 2.
Oh, my God, that's so exciting.
Oh, here's the tickets. Wow, it doesn't look like it's a sellout. I think we're going to have a choice of seats here, baby.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So where are they? Are they warming up in another facility? Or?
Well, you know what? If you just watch that big TV screen, you'll be able to see them here in a second.
What?
Well, they're actually playing in Boston, but I thought maybe we could come down to Staples Center.
You told me we're going to a Laker game?
Well, we are going to the Laker game. There's a Laker girls right there. Look, the Laker girls. You love the Laker girls. Come on, baby.
Take me home.
Oh, what a bitch. But that's probably what happened to a couple of chicks. Guys, you know, hot shots. Hey, I'm going to take you to Laker game. Is that right? Where are they playing? About 3,000 miles from here. The Laker girls showed up, and it almost reminded me of all the people that showed up at the Superdome during Katrina, you know? It's like all the people had nowhere else to go. I mean, who doesn't have a place to go? Like a local bar or a somebody's house? Or
well, what is the appeal? I mean, is that you're going to be with fans no matter what?
I don't know. You know what? But it's not, it's fans, but it's fans that have all shot their wad.
Mm.
You know?
So to speak.
Yeah, it's fans that you know, they really weren't into homework or anything. They didn't get, like, you know, great jobs so they can afford the great tickets.
Well, and that's the thing. Do you assume that everyone that's watching it in this particular instance is like a B-level, like a second-tier fan? Because they don't care enough to actually go to the real game. They care enough to, you know, drive a couple blocks.
Well, they can't afford to go to the real game because those tickets are now going for, you know, $10,000 apiece.
Right, right.
So they have to go to the Staples Center to watch it on TV. And they got the big screen TV there. And I imagine there are more cops at the Staples Center during one of these televised games.
Closed circuit. Than
there are during the games where, you know, the executives from Universal and Paramount are going to be there.
the elements are there.
I don't know. I don't know who's there. I mean, Christ almighty. I mean, every time I see this with people, you know, showing up at the Staples Center to watch on TV, I don't know what they're missing at home. Either they don't have TV or they don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
And those are the two things you need to watch the game. Either cold beer, air conditioning, and TV. You need three things to watch the game. And these guys are paying $15 and standing in line to sit there in that Staples Center, that empty Staples Center.
And stare at an empty court.
Yeah, and you're looking around at a sea of dreams that have blown up. Everybody has a story on how they almost won the lottery, how they almost got the job, how they almost became an actor, how they almost.
Maybe
it's the almost crowd.
This should be the next season of Lost. And you're just watching these poor people, these poor saps watch, and then you zoom in on one of their lives and what it almost was.
Yeah, you got to pay for parking. You got to pay to get in the Staples Center. And you're not going to impress. There can't be hot chicks there.
You know what it probably is, Tim? It's probably bragging rights later. So when it's long forgotten and dates are a little fuzzy, you can say, "Oh yeah, I was at the Staples Center during the playoffs," and no one's going to question it at that point.
Oh Christ Almighty! I don't know. I guess all the money goes to charity. That's a good thing. But Jesus Christ, I don't get it. I really don't. I see these people do it, and it's not only L.A. They do it all over the country. When your team is away, they sit there and everyone goes to that local stadium and fills that up and watches that TV.
Would now be a bad time to tell you that my mom took a shuttle bus with all of her friends to the Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas to watch the big KU game when they weren't playing in Kansas?
Is that right?
Yeah, for
your
the
mom
big...
went to that?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Boom.
Would now be a bad time to tell you.
You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Jesus Christ.
Ooh,
your mom, I tell you. My mom would do something like that. If my mom was in Detroit when the Red Wings were playing in Minnesota, she would go down to the
stadium. Think that's cool, though. God bless her. I mean, I would sit home and mope and do nothing and bitch about stuff. She got in her little van with the friends, and they went to have a night out in Lawrence.
But when you let's say you do go to the Staples Center to watch the Lakers on TV, all right? And you're with 8,000 other people that are broke, and you're watching this game on TV. Don't you have to go home and sit in the shower for like an hour?
Probably.
And just sort of, mope and cry. I'm like, I can't believe I just did this.
Well, I think, I don't know if it's the same thing with the Lakers game, but at least with college, you got the band and the mascots.
Let's say, I said to you and Jerry and Randy, I said, hey, I got, four tickets to the Staples Center to watch the game on TV. First of all, none of you would go.
No thanks.
But let's say you all did go, all right? Wouldn't you be embarrassed to run into somebody you knew down there?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God, there's Ron Escarcega. He runs the station. I hope he doesn't see me, and I hope I don't see him. Oh, Christ almighty. Is that Jack Silver's kid over there? Oh, I hope he didn't see me. I hope I don't see him.
It's like being at like a Renaissance festival or something. It's something you'd rather keep to yourself.
And then everybody's cheering for a TV set.
Oh, I
understand. I can't stand in sports bars. Everyone's yelling at the TV.
Well, that's what makes me so uncomfortable about Oscar parties. When people are like, I'm going to an Oscar party. No, you're not. You're not.
Oh.
You're going to watch the Oscars in a tux on a TV. It's very depressing.
Yeah, it is for the low-end crowd. But God bless them. You get it up to go down there. And somebody brought their kid. There's like a two-year-old kid there. So you got the Money Bags is here.
Yeah.
Hey, he's treating his whole family to this S event. All right, anything else happening in the news there, Gina Graham?
Is there? Well, a long and difficult race ended for Hillary Clinton over the weekend.
Jerry, please.
As the Democratic presidential candidate suspended her candidacy and urged her supporters to throw their efforts behind getting Barack Obama elected to the White House. We have a clip of audio of the former First Lady rallying the audience to get a Democratic candidate into that White House.
Trouser suit!
Here
we go. Hillary Clinton with a trouser suit.
The way to continue our fight now to accomplish the goals for which we stand is to take our energy, our passion, our strength, and do all we can to help elect Barack Obama, the next president of the United States. Today, as I suspend my campaign, I congratulate him on the victory he has won and the extraordinary race he has run. I endorse him and throw my full support behind him.
There she goes. Now, she doesn't want him to win, right?
I don't think so.
Nobody.
You sound a little disingenuous.
She does not pull in for this guy. She can't stand this guy. This guy took away her thunder. She could have been president of the United States if it wasn't for this dude. She's not interested in it. And if he becomes president, she's got to sit out for 8 years now because he'll run as the incumbent in 4 years.
So why? I mean, she doesn't have to say she's supporting him. So why is she doing it?
Yeah, she does. She does. Because if she doesn't, then she runs for the Democratic ticket next time.
Nobody wants anything to do with it.
And everybody that supported him will go F you.
Right.
And she needs that that audience to vote for.
God.
It's just so creepy. So she's now got to go out there and drag Bill Clinton out there and run around for this guy. Oh, Jesus. All right. This is, where'd you get that, by the way?
Oh, this is from George, who I love, who works here at the station. Hillary, her laugh has been immortalized in pen form, bobblehead pen form.
It's a talking pen?
And it is actually Hillary's laugh. And listen how evil this sounds.
All
and
right.
Her mouth moves up and down when she does it. Ready?
Here we go.
Oh, somebody told her a real rib tickler.
It'd have been 4 years of that. All right. Pen goes back in the pocket. All right. So Hillary's out. What else is happening?
Well, stunning a crowd of nearly 95,000 people at Belmont Park on Saturday, Dattara went right to the front of the race, going wire to wire in the 140th running of the Grade 1 $1 million Belmont Stakes.
Jesus Christ.
Preventing Big Brown from becoming the first Triple Crown winner since 1978.
Yeah, I told you.
Oh, man. Well, we have some audio of the horse race's dramatic finish.
All right, here we go. The end of the Belmont.
Dattara ducks out. Now he ducks in. Desperate for the final 16th of a mile, but he's going to do it here. Here's a shocking wire-to-wire win in the Belmont Stakes at 38-1. It is Dattara. He wins by four lengths. The Triple Crown will remain vacant once again. Dennis of Cork finishing second at close to third. And very unfortunate, a desultory Big Brown has been eased in the
stretch. Yeah, Big Brown finished last.
Aww.
Now, a friend of mine went to the window to make this bet. All right. He was going to bet 6-4 all, 4-6 all in the superfecta, which means he would have had it twice because for the third place was a dead heat between the 8 and the 9. So he would have had 6-4-8-9, 6-4-9-8.
Okay.
He'd had it twice. It paid $48,000. He would have had $96,000 on the one ticket. It would have cost him $86. He was talked out of the four horse by some a-hole who he knows at the track on the way to the window.
Oh, my God.
On the way to the window. Talked out of him.
So,
yeah, but that superfecta paid $48,000. 48 grand.
So
it was a dead heat
that?
For a third. No, it passed.
No.
So, it was over. All right, here is my picks on Friday. I did okay. I told you Big Brown wasn't going to win.
Right.
But I didn't do well with the 10 horse. Here's what we had determined on Friday. The winner tomorrow is going to be the most rested horse. And the one that closes the best, ladies and gentlemen, the 10 horse tomorrow. All right. 10 horse didn't win. All right. But let's continue here. Ichabod Crane is gonna beat Big Brown tomorrow in a tremendous upset. And I'm going to come on Monday with a stack of money next to me and laugh at it. That didn't happen either, but all of yous that bet that Big Brown.
Well, you'd be getting a phone call from me if it doesn't come in. How's that?
Right. No, but Big Brown is a great horse, and I'd like to see it win, but it's not going to win. There you go. How about that?
You called it.
How about I called it, sons of bitches? I called it. All you do is take $2 and put it on every other horse other than Big Brown, and that would have cost you $18. You'd have gotten back $79. And I gave that tip to all you a-holes out there. And anyone who didn't bet, it was nuts. I told you Big Brown wasn't going to win. I told you that on Friday. They eased that mother effer. And I told you it was too hot. It was too deep, that track. And it was too long. Three shots against the guy. It was 100 degrees out there. That is one of the deepest tracks in all of racing. The turf there, the dirt there is like, 17 inches deep. You can't run in that crap. And it's a mile and a half. You'd never run that distance before. I told you he was going to lose. I told you. And you a-holes didn't listen to me. I gave you the winner, practically. I told you he wasn't going to win.
Wow.
And he went off at 1-4. This guy would have paid, like 220 or 240 for every ticket. So we, again, no Triple Crown in the last 30 years. And the best shot at it went tee-ots up in the stretch. All right, anything else in the news there, Gina Graff?
You know what I think we can consider a victory in the Belmont Stakes? Nobody got shot.
Oh, yeah. Nobody got killed, huh?
Can you imagine? I was thinking about this. If Big Brown had to be put down in the middle of that thing,
yeah.
People would go crazy.
Oh,
how horrible would that be?
But, you know, he practically was put down. They eased that horse.
Oh,
and that horse came in last. I think that horse had $5.8 or $6.8 million bet on it.
Oy.
And bad vibes.
Oh.
It's over.
Yeah.
All right, anything else there, Beth?
Well, yeah, you actually had mentioned this to Paul Majors, but I felt it was worth reiterating. Police in Los Angeles played down fears of a crime wave today after an unusually violent weekend where we saw more than a dozen Angelenos killed this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep, Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, God.
12 people that potentially were listening to the show on Friday ain't around anymore.
Well, you know what? It was actually 14.
14
so over
people.
A dozen, yep.
We figured 12 out of 14 listen. But 14 people that could have heard the show on Friday are no longer with us. It's disgraceful. There are probably more people killed here in Los Angeles than U.S. servicemen have been killed in June.
Possibly.
In Iraq, where they're out to kill everybody. It's you know, between the gas prices and how dangerous it is to drive around Los Angeles, I am not surprised that people just stay home.
Well, you know, this is my favorite quote, if I may. It says, Deputy Chief Earl Pacinger speculated that warm weather, high gas prices, and gang violence may be the culprit for the homicides, but added, there's nothing for anyone to be alarmed about.
Yeah, everyone just calm down. If you get killed, you know, you had a nice run, you've enjoyed yourself here in Southern California. We'll try to do our best, but it's those gas prices. LAPD's pointing to those gas prices, man. I don't understand that for a complete effing second, that the gas goes up 60 cents and some guy gets killed over it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Do they have
sense.
Any evidence that was based on the gas price?
No.
So they're just pulling crap out of the air.
I'm trying to spin some sort of a thing in my head. I can't even think of anything.
Why don't they say it had something to do with the tomatoes?
Yeah.
You know, with those rotten tomatoes.
Yeah. Salmonella tomatoes.
Yeah, or maybe that you know, people are paying more for Starbucks. Why don't they blame Starbucks for raising their prices? This is unbelievable. They blame the gas prices for people getting killed. And I love when they say, but don't anybody panic because it's only 14 people, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll be 13 next weekend. We'll have a big party.
Yeah, it's a huge decrease.
Yeah. Ah, bubble. All right, anything else there, Gina Graff?
That's what's happening.
All right, Gina Graff, the news, everybody.
The news with Gina Graff.
I'm Paul Majors.
I'm Gina Graff.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll give you 8.5 minutes of something.
Oh, Jesus. I just saw an advertisement on Channel 9. 5 chili dogs at their Wiener Schnitzel for $5.
Oy.
Holy Christ.
Maybe a little Jerry meal or no deal.
What kind of gambler are you? But that's... now, Randy, could you knock off 5 chili dogs?
Actually, about a month and a half ago, I went to the Wiener Schnitzel by my house, and I bought the 5 chili dogs for $5.
That one on Laurel Canyon?
Yeah, the one on
like
Laurel Canyon next to John's.
Yeah, I like that one on Magnolia. Now, you bought the 5 chili dogs, and you knocked them all off?
I also ordered a corn dog.
Holy Christ,
that's a huge
man.
Bitch!
But I thought you were on a whole new diet. I mean, on a whole new swing here.
This is like the weekend right before, so I had to, you know, it's like when you're about to go to rehab, you do as many drugs as possible before you go in.
Right.
This is the weekend before Shape Fitness started, so I probably went to about 20 fast food joints in the premise of a 2-day
Jesus
weekend.
Christ almighty. But you ate all 5 chili dogs?
And a corn dog.
And when you eat a chili dog, is it 3 bites and it's gone?
Usually 3.
You just down, right?
Yeah.
How many dogs could you eat?
I could probably eat 20.
No, in the course of 3 hours when we do a show, how many could you eat?
I could probably eat 100.
No, you couldn't.
I bet I could.
He's Randy, like that Kobayashi kid, the Coney Island hot dog.
I'll bet $1,000 that he can't eat 100.
I'll bet you could eat 3 of those Kobayashi kids in an hour. Wait a minute. You think you can eat how many?
No, I'll bet $1,000 that he can't eat
100.
Or 100
dogs. In 3 hours, I could eat 100 hot dogs.
Dude, are you insane?
You know you would not believe the amount of food I can actually store in this stomach.
Yeah, but you're going to eat them with the bun or just the dogs?
No, I can eat them with the bun.
Randy,
as long as they're the little buns, you know, the soft ones.
Yeah, I know, but you're crazy. I don't think you could eat 30.
I could eat at least 50. I could probably eat 100.
Okay, we're going to do that one of these nights. and we're also going to have an ambulance standing by. And they're going to rush you over to Cedars, and you might expire over there. And everyone will look at you like you're a complete a-hole. 100
hot dogs. No, they'll think I'm a hero.
But 100, I mean, what's the most hot dogs you've had in one sitting?
Well, I'm not that much of a hot dog guy, but probably the 5 chili dogs.
All right, and the corn dog.
And the corn dog, but I've ordered...
So you bought the 5 chili dogs and washed it down with a corn dog?
Yes.
And that's 6. You know, the difference between 100 and 6 is 94 dogs.
I've done worse there, too. I once bought, like, one of every item on their dollar menu.
Jesus Christ.
And I've done that at almost every fast food joint, where I'll buy one of everything.
I've also
Randy,
noticed
you... do you always get, like, a couple of drinks so it doesn't look like you're eating the whole thing? And give me three... What is that? Yeah, 3 large Cokes.
You know, I used to do that. After a while, I'm into F it, so I'm not ashamed. So I just buy the one giant drink, and it's all for me,
oh,
babe.
My word.
Oh, Bubba. All right. Single in the valley. With his chili dogs. All right, Gina Grad emailed me something earlier, and these are things that you've experienced on first dates that irritate you, is that right?
Yeah, I was working today, and there was a lot of lag time, so I just found my mind wandering, and I started getting pissed off. I couldn't help it. I just started thinking about all the bad things that have gone wrong on first dates of mine.
Right.
And I started getting really pissed that I let these guys, A, get away with this stuff, and B, you know, think that they could blow me up afterwards like we had the best date ever.
Right, and just call you all the time.
Yes!
All right, give me a top 3, and then we're going to take a break here and come back with more.
Well, let's see here. They talk too much.
Right.
They don't ask me any questions. It's just talking about crap. They're rude to me or they're rude to the wait staff.
Who's rude to the wait staff?
Oh,
and who's
God.
Rude to you on a first date? What do they say?
Sarcastic without it being charming whatsoever. Because, you know, I like to go a couple rounds with you. But if you're just like a jerk.
Right.
But if you're rude to the waitstaff, I want to die.
Yeah, well,
I will
does
leave
that?
You there.
I mean, people guys
do
have
that.
Done. You've gone on a date where a guy's rude to the waiter?
Absolutely.
Or an a-hole.
Absolutely. And let's see. Oh, this is something that I guess happens for everybody because you can't do anything about it. But bad tattoos. I can't be seen with you if you have, like, barbed wire around your bicep. That's a deal breaker.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The crap. Let's open the phones up here. The do's are actually the don'ts on a first date. And we'd like to hear solely from women. No guys for right now. I've had an ass full of dudes, you know, calling the show for the last 12 years. In the next 40 minutes, we'll just talk to women. Things you can't stand on a first date.
Those deal breakers.
520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad sitting right there. And we're live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Don't forget to watch Paul Majors tonight at 11 o'clock on Channel 2. Nice enough to come in once in a while. Paul Majors, along with that Mike Nelson, man. Best PR guy ever. All right, Gina Grad is sitting with us, and she has been on her, involved in her share of first dates.
Ugh.
How many first dates you been on?
Ever?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hundreds?
Yeah, I mean, at least 100.
All right. And there's a list of things that guys should not do.
Absolutely not.
Should not do.
Under no circumstances.
On a first date.
Can I just give you a couple others?
Yes.
On a first date, for the love of God, please don't drink too much.
Oh, really?
Especially if you're the one driving, and then it's uncomfortable, and it's just you let loose of your faculties. You know, you say stuff you shouldn't be saying.
Right.
You get loud. It's uncomfortable. And don't flirt with other girls while you're on a date with me. Don't accept any advances from any ladies at the bar. And for God's sake, if you know it's good for you, at least offer to pay. There's nothing more.
Wait, you've been out with a guy who has not offered to pay.
Yeah. And I don't mind paying. Like,
yeah.
I don't have any money, but I think it's kind of hot when I'm like, I got it. You know,
and
I'll take care of it.
Right. But the guy has.
Doesn't even offer. Or like, so are we going splitsies? Or like,
wait, that's been said to you?
Yeah.
On a first date. We're going halvesies.
Yeah, halvesies. And, I mean, honestly.
Who says this? Who are you dating?
Oh,
guys
that
from
is
this planet?
The question. You know,
guys
unless you're my dad, do not even refer to the prices on a menu while we're at a restaurant.
Well.
Unless your name is Steve, I don't want to hear about it.
Wait, so guys were complaining about
like,
the price?
Whew, these prices. Doggies.
Yeah, but aren't you smart enough to weed some of these guys out before you hit that stool?
I most certainly am not.
You mean, you can't you know, you can't be on the phone and talk to the guy for, you know, five or six times before you go to dinner and go, all right, this guy's an a-hole.
Here's the thing, Tim. I'm real delusional.
I guess so, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this list is going to keep you single for a while, too.
I don't want to date these guys.
I know, but there's a long list here. What else you got there?
Let's see. This is really uncomfortable. Have a little game. Anyone who constantly talks about on first date how they don't go out very much, don't All have right. too much social interaction. Actually, you're the first date I've been on and, well, no, you're actually the first date I've been on.
And guys lay that on you? Like, I don't go out often?
Yeah. You know, I don't really do this sort of thing. I just sort of, you know.
Does it upset you when guys talk about their ex chicks?
I actually like that.
You do.
I'm probably the only girl that likes to hear about guys talking about their past relationships.
See, this is why guys turn gay. Because every time you go out with a chick, there's a new set of rules. There's a new set of do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
And if you just can get yourself to, you know, enjoy that stick, you can, you know, you can have much more in common with the other dude. And sit there and not have to have a list of crap you shouldn't and should not do and should do.
Yep.
Do you think gay guys have a list of that?
They do, but they can ignore it. They can justify it better.
Yeah, because they're guys.
Yeah.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's just, you know, hitting that stick.
But when the guy goes out with another guy on a first date, mm-hmm. right? First, well, look at that. Goosebumps. but a guy goes out with another guy, right? And they have, they're going out to, I don't know. What's a good restaurant? Gaucho Grill. Right?
They're not going to the Gaucho Grill, Tim.
I don't know. Where do gay guys go?
Grill.
Well, where do guys go to have dinner with other guys?
How about Merrick's in
what
West
is
Hollywood?
That?
It's a little Mexican place that they are.
All right.
They
they're sitting in Merrick's.
Yeah.
All right. And they're enjoying their fajitas, whatever they got going. And do you think the guy says to the other guy, you know, I don't like when guys do this on the first date?
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you think there's a list of that?
But like I said, I bet it's more forgivable, you know? They'll get over it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Go to Merrick's.
Go to Merrick's.
All right. The list of things that guys should not do on a first date, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Vanessa in North Hollywood, you're on 97.1. How are you doing, baby?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. What's going on with you?
I went on a date with a friend after we graduated, and we were in touch through MySpace, and he took me out to a movie, so that's strike one, because that's the worst first date.
Why?
You can't make any conversation, you can't even look at the guy in his face, and, you know, you don't really get an idea of what he likes, because there's better movies that have been made before. I mean...
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done a first date on a movie.
Wait a minute, but did the guy go to dinner with you first?
No, we went to see a movie, but I left before. Let me move on.
Wait a minute. He took you straight from your house to the theater?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bad move.
Yeah, see, it's a bad move. So then he picks me up in his Honda. So before we get to the movie theater, and it's got bullet holes in it.
This isn't Randy Wang you went out with, is it?
When he answered the phone, and I said no.
Is it, so you had real bullet holes or the decals?
No, they were real bullet holes, and I asked why the car smelled. He said that's probably because the car's rusted because I have bullet holes on the side. moving on. So we get to the movie theater, and we're in the movie. And
now, is the car, on the way to the movie theater, is the car whistling? Does it sound like just a big flute?
It was a weird silence because I was just kind of like, okay, this is a first.
You plug the holes and play a song. All right, so you have bullet holes in a movie.
Yeah, and when we get to the movie theater, we're watching the movie. I don't even remember what it was, and he farted.
Oh, no.
So it was like he wasn't chewing his food. He was eating raw meat. It was disgusting.
Oh, bumbo. How do you know it was him?
It was too close for comfort, and we were the only people sitting in that row.
What in the hell did you do, Vanessa?
Oh.
I held my breath. I put my face up into my sleeve of my shirt and went to use the bathroom.
Did you pretend like you didn't notice, or was it obvious?
Yeah. No, I pretended like I didn't notice, because, I mean, he was probably embarrassed. I mean,
hey, Vanessa, let me put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
Can I talk to you off the air real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, sweetie. Yeah, I'm married now. I know. It was a long time ago. Right. What? Do, please, just don't bother me here. Okay. Don't. Please, please, please. Okay. Email me later, but don't bother me on the air. Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Sorry about that. All right. Courtney in Palos Verdes. You're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So I have an awful first date story.
Uh-oh.
This guy asked me out, and we go on this first date, and we sit down at dinner, and he was like, all right, well, I'm really open. You can ask me anything, and I'll be completely honest. So
you asked him if he was Republican?
No. I asked him some questions just to get to know him, and after I was out of, you know, small talk questions, I was like, okay, well, do you want to ask me anything? And he sat there, and he's like, no. Nothing. He didn't want to ask me anything, so that was kind of strike one.
Then that's strike one through eight.
That's great, though. Okay, I had no interest, man.
And then we were going to go see a movie, but it didn't start, like, for an hour, so we had some time to kill. And we were sitting in his car, and he decided to start talking about his ex, and I don't really mind that either, but he was constantly bashing her, talking about how promiscuous she was, and how after they had gotten together, he realized he had developed some red bumps.
Oh, my God.
On his mouth. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Wait, where
did he hate you?
Exactly.
Where were the bumps?
In places they shouldn't be.
Nether region.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I was sitting there. I wanted to cry. I was so uncomfortable.
All right, so like, the guy's got genital warts that he caught from his ex-wife.
I was like, are you kidding me? Who talks about this on a first date? Or any date, for that matter.
Jesus
it was
Christ.
So uncomfortable. And so then Gina, I looked at him, and he knew I was uncomfortable. He was like, well, I did go to a doctor, and everything's fine now, but it was so awful.
He's disgusting.
And then at the end of the day, he tried to kiss me, and I just ran out of the car, and I never talked to him again. It was horrible.
So did he call you, and you just didn't pick up the phone?
Yes, I ignored those phone calls. I never returned them. I was so, like, uncomfortable.
Courtney, can I ask you a sort of a non sequitur, but you just reminded me of something?
Sure.
Have you ever been on a first date where somebody took it out?
Has that happened to you?
Yes, it has.
Is that right? That's
took
my move.
Yeah.
Guys are copying my move. Wait,
no,
what? At that dinner?
No, pre-dinner drinks at his house.
Really?
And he was blocking. He was between me and the door, and I really thought we were going to have to, like, throw down.
Wow.
Yeah. I was terrified. This was the first blind date I went on when I moved to L.A.
Can I ask you, without saying who this guy was,
is he in one of these two booths?
No. Does he currently work with a guy named Frank and a girl named Frosty?
No.
And a girl named Heidi?
No. I don't think I'm his flavor.
All right, so that's not Frosty's move.
I wouldn't know. Okay. He's lovely. We love Frosty.
Wow. So a guy is in the house before you go to dinner. First date.
We're sitting in this, like, beanbag chair.
He pulls his pants down?
Well, no. For strike one was we were in, like, a beanbag love seat to adults. And he starts talking about how he did this print ad. He is a model. Where he was in a Speedo and, you know, he was...
Wow.
I don't know. Yeah. And then he's like, you know...
I'm writing this down.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't even think I can tell any of this.
But you know what? If this guy did pull it out and on you, then he's done it on other chicks, and it's worked sometimes, right?
Tim.
You couldn't have been the first person he did it to.
Probably not, but it really felt like an after school special.
Where'd you guys go to dinner after them?
There was no dinner after that. Are you kidding? I took off like a bat out of hell. I was scared.
How long?
I was probably there for 45 minutes.
And he was blocking you between you and the door.
He was between me and the door. My purse was behind me, so I just had to stay really calm. Tell him that he was just fan freaking tastic, and let me just go grab something out of my car. But you,
I gotta
my
check
friend,
that
are
off
great.
My list.
Yeah, you're great.
By the way, if you ever date Gina Grad, no stick on the first night, gang. Don't pull that up.
I didn't say that. But, you know.
No, but don't let it, you know, seriously, before you get, you got to get dinner in her before she sees that thing. All right, the crappy first dates, crap you won't tolerate from dudes on that first date. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad's sitting with us. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Gina Grad sitting over here complaining about first dates.
They just hurt my heart.
I guess so. The do's, the don'ts on a first date. The don'ts. F the do's. You know the do's. Here's the don'ts. 520-9710. Keisha in Bellflower, you're on 97.1.
Tim, I love you.
Oh, baby, you're the best.
I said I wouldn't call more than once a year, but I had
to
call in.
Wow.
This is awful. I took a chance on an older guy. I'm 29, and last year, when I was on my 29th birthday, I decided that I was going to take a chance on an older guy.
How old?
He was 45.
Ugh.
45. But there are some cool 45-year-olds. Really, you know, you would never know it.
Thank you.
This dude was so corny, and I should have known from the beginning. And I ended up at the HTB.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
Off-track betting?
No.
HTB?
HTB. And that's what I call him to this day. Me and my friends call him HTB.
Hometown buffet?
Yes, brother.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
No. I'm not joking. And when he walked in the door, I ran into the restroom and I called my girlfriend. And I told her, just remember three letters, HTB.
Oh, babu. Is this black guy, white guy, Hispanic dude?
Black guy.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's still tacky.
I know. I just want to know who made the move.
Then he says to me, oh, babe, go ahead. Get whatever you want. I told him, dude, I wanted to say, you can't even kick me out. The meal's already paid for. What do you want me to do? Oh,
yeah, but when he said get whatever you want, that's the rule there.
What do you do? Do you follow him to the line? Do you go toward the beef section? What do you do? Follow him to where he wants to go, or does he follow you?
What did you do? You grab about as much of that blue jello with the peaches in it as you can. You run.
I was cute. I was dressed up. I didn't look like I deserved to go to the hotel. Okay. Why do you take me to a place where the ambiance is? Families running around, kids running around,
seniors,
their own drinks, and there's balloons around.
And it's also embarrassing when you go for the second plate.
What the hell? No.
You got to load up here.
No. It was. I still tell this story to this day. I tell people all the time, just remember three letters, HTB.
Oh,
and
God.
It would have been a lovely day. And then he tried to get him some at the end. I didn't get no HTB.
The buffet was closed at the end. You should have said to him, this is not all you can eat, baby.
Oh.
Hey, let me give you a different, a better night here. Let's give you a pair of tickets to see Robert Plant. You know who he is?
Hell no.
How about Alison Krauss?
Alison Krauss.
Krauss.
Alison Krauss.
That's what
awesome.
I meant. Alison Krauss.
That I can do.
They take on the Greek Theater June 23rd. Call that guy up and ask him out. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, June 23rd at the Greek Theater. Hold on one sec. We'll give you those, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right. There you go,
see,
baby.
And Keisha brought up an interesting point because all you men must know that if anything, and I mean anything, goes wrong on this date, you will get a nickname that will outlive you.
Yeah. Debbie in Moreno Valley, you're on 97.1.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, baby.
Hey, Dana.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, this is the best. I love this chick.
This is a treat.
I have the worst one. Okay.
What do you got?
Okay. Started off really good. We go to the opera. So after the opera, across the street is the cafe. Really nice, okay? So we eat. Everything's going good. He's a little bit on the liquor. I don't drink. I got my little Pepsi, and that's it. So after we finish, he starts patting his jacket. I left my wallet.
He brought his work wallet.
Put me on blast. Okay. So I'm like, I'm I don't panic, you know, because mom always taught you always have your own money.
Yep, yep.
So yeah. Not a problem. So we're getting through dinner. We're talking and all of that. And okay,
I pay the bill.
Okay. So I notice he's really tipsy. So I'm like, okay, I'll just drive him home. Okay, not a problem.
I like
this dude. Where do you live? Okay, so take him to his house, and I'm like, okay, checkbook. He's like, huh? I said, checkbook. He's like, what? Remember, I paid for the dinner. Okay. Not a problem. Let me run upstairs. Let me get my wallet. I know where it is. No, he came out with the money, so it ended up pretty good.
Oh, but that's not
good
bad.
For you, Debbie.
It was like, I'm not paying for a man's dinner. But he asked me out to dinner.
Yes, he did. All right, hold on one second. We got to take a break there. We always thank you for calling. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Chibas, USA.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
You got it there, Debbie. They battle Real Salt Lake at the Home Depot Center this Saturday. Visit CDChibasUSA.com for all the latest Major League Soccer action. Look at that. Get out there and see Chibas, man. All right, Gina Grant, thanks for sitting in. We'll come back. Jim Hill's going to be calling us from Channel 2 News, talking a little bit about the Lakers. What happened over the weekend? Gina, please. All right, this is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM.